Live from the historic parsonage of the 19th century gospel minister George Norcross in downtown Carlisle, Pennsylvania, it's Iron Sharpens Iron. This is a radio platform in which pastors, Christian scholars, and theologians address the burning issues facing the church and the world today. Proverbs chapter 27, verse 17 tells us iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. Matthew Henry said that in this passage, we are cautioned to take heed with whom we converse and directed to have in view in conversation to make one another wiser and better. It is our hope that this goal will be accomplished over the next 2 hours, and we hope to hear from you, the listener, with your own questions. And now, here's your host, Chris Arnzen.
Good afternoon, Cumberland County, Pennsylvania, Lake City, Florida, and the rest of humanity living on the planet Earth, listening via live streaming at ironsharpensironradio.com. This is Chris Arnzen, your host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, wishing you all a happy Friday on this 7th day of June, 2019. And I'm so thrilled to have back on this program one of my favorite guests, a man who I have become to consider a friend, and one who I love to hear preach and love to read what he has written. I am just so honored and delighted to have back on the program Jeff Thomas, who, beginning in 1965, served for over 50 years as pastor of Alfred Place Baptist Church of Aberystwyth, Wales. And today we are going to be addressing a ministry of encouragement. We'll also be announcing Sermon Audio's The Foundations Conference coming up in December, where Jeff Thomas will be on the speaking roster. But it's my honor and privilege to welcome you back to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, Jeff Thomas.
Thank you very much. It's a delight for me to be on your program again.
Well, I want to make sure that our listeners have our email address if they want to send in a question. Our email address is chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com. And please, as always, give us your first name, at least your city and state and your country of residence where you live out, if you live outside the USA. And please only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. Before we even go into the subject at hand, a ministry of encouragement, Jeff, please tell our listeners something about what you will be addressing this December, God willing, in New York City at the Foundations Conference. I know that the overall theme of the entire conference is prayer and preaching, the foundations of ministry, but what specifically will you address if you already know that information?
Yes, well, I've been asked to speak as an older man, an experienced man, and encourage and talk to the younger men there about the work of the ministry and my reminiscences and lessons I've learned during those 5 decades in Aberystwyth.
Great. Tell us something about Aberystwyth, Wales. What is it like culturally? What is the presence of the body of Christ there like? Are Christians an extremely tiny minority there? Or tell us something more about Aberystwyth.
You know, whenever a university moves into an area, it has not a helpful influence. It tends to have a cerebral influence, an academic influence on the pulpits and on Christianity. And so the first university in Wales was erected in Aberystwyth in the 1860s. And then the churches then, which were in a holy Welsh area, built English chapels and churches of all the major denominations there to minister, firstly, to the tourists who came because they just built a railway line linking London and Aberystwyth. And then they also built churches for the non-Welsh-speaking students that were coming to study there. And we have sadly judged that in the first 50 years of the 20th century, there was scarcely any gospel preaching concerning redemption through Christ, regeneration by the Holy Spirit, the authority of Scripture, the need for a personal walk with God, and repentance of sin and trust in Christ. And so it wasn't until after the war, when there was a rediscovery of confessional Christianity, and that then showed itself in the change in our congregation, and then in a Welsh language sister congregation that was established, and then now there are half a dozen churches where the gospel is preached in Aberystwyth.
Well, praise God.
It's only a town of 20,000, you see, Chris, 10,000 of whom are students. It's like a little New England university town.
Well, praise God. And once again, Pastor Jeff, or Reverend Jeff Thomas, who is retired from the pastoral ministry now, after over half a century at Alfred Place Baptist Church in Aberystwyth, Wales, he is once again going to be speaking at the Foundations Conference, which has become one of my favorite conferences, right in the heart of Manhattan. And what a wonderful time of year to visit Manhattan, right near the Christmas season, December 19th and 20th, which is a Thursday and Friday. And if you want to register, I strongly urge you to do so very soon, if not right now, because they can only hold less than 200 people in this venue in the heart of Manhattan. So go to thefoundationsconference.com, thefoundationsconference.com to register. And I'll be telling you more about the other speakers involved on the roster, along with Reverend Jeff Thomas, during our midway break of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio today. Well, I actually am very happy that you wanted to discuss today a ministry of encouragement. One of the reasons is I need encouragement in a big way. And I thank God for the brothers and sisters in Christ who have regularly reached out with me with a lot of encouragement. In fact, many of these brothers and sisters in Christ I have never even met face to face, but they just know about my radio program. And I am a widower, as you may remember, just as you are, although you are remarried, praise be to God. And I have other things in life, you know, that bring me sometimes to a very deep level of depression. And thanks be to God, our merciful Savior never lets me wallow too long in those states of mind. He always does something to distract my attention in a positive way, and he brings his saints to the rescue, my brothers and sisters in Christ, who contact me and encourage me. But tell me why you came up with the idea of speaking on this very issue, a ministry of encouragement.
Well, because it's a very neglected subject. In my NIV concordance, I think the word encourage occurs 100 times. It's neglected. Our obligation under God, you remember, God speaks to Moses, Deuteronomy 3:28, and he says to him, encourage Joshua. And there's so much outright discouragement in the churches these days, so much criticism, so much damning with faint praise, so much rebuke, such little mutual appreciation. And there are some who seem to think that the way to motivate a church is to scold and rebuke and point out the faults and let nothing pass. And they imagine that that is the way to revive and motivate and get things done and to go about it in such a negative way. And the result is that there are some congregations whose members are wilting, and some Christian families whose children's morale is so low, and people feel that their best efforts are not at all worthwhile. And so people become passengers in gospel churches, and people are refusing to try in case they don't measure up. People are cracking up, and there is talent then that is unutilized and unapplied because of the prevalence of discouragement. People are afraid that they'll be put down. And those are some of the reasons why I believe encouragement is a most important subject to address.
Amen. And do you think, I want us to be honest here, you and I are both Reformed Baptists. Do you think that the tendency to lessen the importance of encouragement may exist amongst us, our own circles of fellowship? Because there are many ministries, as you may be fully aware, out there that wrongly encourage people for the wrong reasons.
Yep.
You have Joel Osteen and many others who will encourage those who are still dead in their trespasses and sins and make them feel comfortable in their unrepentant state. They will bring nothing but a word of encouragement and something to uplift them and build up their self-confidence.
Sure.
And it seems that we who are Calvinists, perhaps in an overreaction against that kind of thing, and perhaps it might even be a historical detriment amongst us. Now, I immediately want to say that there are many solidly Reformed people throughout the ages, throughout history, who, if you read them, you can see their pages overflowing with encouragement. Charles Spurgeon is just one of the many that immediately comes to mind. But do you think that we are probably, along with our fundamentalist brethren, the most guilty on that?
I think there is a danger in the rediscovery of these great truths that you were talking about, and that we want to protect them. You know, there is the story of the man who has suddenly left an old mansion, and it's in a state of disrepair, and people see him. He's spending a year, 2 years working, and he is building the walls around this mansion. He's pointing them, and he's restoring them. And then he finally opens the doors to let his friends in, and they discover, to their horror, that he has been dismantling the mansion itself in order to build the walls. And that becomes one of the snares that we are neglecting, then, a gospel centralism, a Jesus Christ centricity, exhorting, declaring, pleading, exalting Jesus Christ, and we are rather wanting to build walls around the church, afraid of all the many kinds of errors that there are and false teachings. We are more concerned about locking them out than we are to elevate and show to people just how stupendous Jesus Christ is.
Amen. And as I said in my introduction of you, you were a pastor for over half a century. As a pastor, when you have met with people, perhaps privately after worship service, they want to meet you for counseling, they are troubled by many things, or perhaps in their own lives, a few specific things that have brought them either an ordinary kind of a depression, or some of them perhaps even to the very depths of despair, perhaps even to the point of even contemplating suicide or something. Over that half century, can you list some of the most common things that brothers and sisters in Christ are lacking in receiving encouragement? Some of the areas in their lives where they are really starving and thirsting for an encouraging word, and they are not receiving it. What would be some of those most common circumstances?
Well, I think one answer to that is to consider how prominently encouragement features in Scripture, and it is a neglect of that that causes sometimes the darkness and the distress. For example, there's the letter to the Hebrews, and it's specifically a word of encouragement. I urge you to bear with my word of encouragement, he says in 13:22. People were falling by the wayside. They were like you described. And he addresses that issue by writing a letter to them. And all his words about Jesus Christ, his person and his work, all his words about the security of God's people and the life that lies before us is given to us for this end, for our encouragement, that we're not to fall back, that he wants to build up their morale. He wants to make them feel real good and secure. And he does that by showing them the greatness of our high priest, Jesus Christ. And then there are individuals that are brought before us in Scripture. Two men jump to my mind in the Old Testament, Jonathan. In the New Testament, Barnabas. Jonathan, a ministry of one-to-one, an individual encouraging another man, a man under great pressure. Jonathan, the great example of a man who, in spite of family pressures and social pressures, loves this brother and wants to deliver him because he's got all the marks of great gifts and future leadership, and he loves and serves David. And then there's Barnabas, who has more a ministry of corporate encouragement. And he's remembered in the book of Acts because he's the son of consolation, the son of encouragement. And he wasn't an evangelist or a theologian or a preacher, but he had this reputation in the churches. Wherever he went, he spread inspiration and renewed aspirations and made people feel good. He was a man full of the Holy Ghost and faith, and he went and strengthened churches. He didn't move in and said, this is wrong, that's wrong, you're weak here, you're deficient there. He gave them encouragement. I'm sure he did it by pointing out the central facts of the gospel in a fresh way. But his sole mission in life, his reputation in the churches was he moved in, he built up morale. He was an inspirational teacher. And after he'd gone, people felt strong. They felt they could climb any mountain and carry any load. They could do anything after Barnabas had been there. He was the son of encouragement. And then there's Paul. And time and again, you find him speaking words of encouragement, with one exception. Every single one of Paul's letters begins with a great word of thanksgiving, of doxology. For all God has done to this church, and Timothy, and Titus, and Philemon, and he tells these churches in Colossae, and Thessalonia, and Corinth, and Rome, whenever I think of you, I thank God for you. I'm thanking God for you all the time. I have you always in my heart. I pray to God for you all the time. Every time I pray to God, I thank God for every quality that you possess. And he rehearses before them those great qualities. I think of your love for all the saints, your fellowship in the gospel, and from you going out into all the region round about, the message of the cross is going. And there are times when we are so frightened to say to each other, I thank God for you. I praise God for you. Now in our emails, we even drop the word dear when we address someone. Hi, we say, that's okay. We used to say, dear Chris, dear Jeff, because we loved the brethren. And Paul then tells churches, he thanks God for this and for that, and they do this. And he rehearses to them their graces. And then we think of the work of the Holy Spirit. And what's he called in the New Testament? He's called the Paraclete, the Comforter, the Encouragement. And he is sent to the churches to give them inspiration, to make God's people feel that, yes, they can do it, they can stand, they can overcome. It's a fascinating word. You know this, Chris, that this word, Comforter, was applied to an officer in the Roman army, a person whose specific task was to build up the morale of the troops.
Wow.
And he's called the Paraclete. And before they fought a great battle, these men, these orators, come and they make a speech. And after that speech, the troops feel they could do it. They were psyched up. They felt whatever the opposition, they could overcome, they could win. They had this inspiration. You have it today, the famous coaches of American football teams and basketball teams and baseball teams. have the Holy Spirit as our coach. Cromwell's army, you see, had great preachers, Baxter, Owen, Manton, in the Commonwealth Army, and part of their function was to impress on men that they were fighting the Lord's battle, because it was the Lord's battle, they would overcome. And John Knox in Scotland, he had the army of the congregation, and they had these preachers in to build up morale and to make people feel they could overcome. And we've had, men who have been in the Navy and in the Army, men like Lee and Eisenhower and Stonewall Jackson and Peyton, and these men have the same quality. Admiral Nelson, when the great Spanish Armada with all the troops was coming to invade England, and Nelson went out with his little fleet, and he sent up a message: England expects every man this day to do his duty. Just so powerful a message, and it thrilled the people. And then, of course, the greatest of all in leadership was Winston Churchill, with his artillery of words, as Friedrich Woods writes in his collection of the speeches. And we had so little to fight with, and we had done such little preparation for a war. But Churchill made the people feel they could, they would, that they were somehow invincible. I don't think I can remember sitting on my father's lap, listening to the radio, which he did and which I did, but he's just told me about it, and listening to Churchill make his speech. And then my father would go off to work in the morning, and he'd stand in the bus queue with the same group of people, 8:30 every morning, and they would all turn to one another, and they would say, "Did you hear Churchill speak last night?" And of course they all did, the country did. And "We shall go on to the end, we shall fight on the seas and oceans, we shall fight with growing confidence and with growing strength in the air, we shall defend our Ireland, whatever the costs may be, we shall never surrender." And with such a rhetoric then, he blew away the clouds of uncertainty in their minds and renewed their stomachs for the fight, and instilled in them the belief that however long it would take and whatever befell them on the way, ultimate victory was secure. And that's the work of the Holy Spirit. When we meet on the Lord's Day and the Spirit is present there, and he helps the preacher to exalt Christ, and in that mysterious influence that every individual Christian has over other Christians that he speaks to, he is the encouragement, the paraclete, that we are persuaded we are more than conquerors, that we endure seeing him who is invisible, that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. And so there is the Holy Spirit's encouragement of the people of God, and we are to grab it and learn from it and become part of the fellowship of the Holy Spirit in ministering to one another.
Praise God. We do have an anonymous listener for you who has a question. This anonymous listener says, "Even though I know my sins have been washed by the blood of the Lamb, and I am a new creation in Christ, and I will not bear the guilt of my sins committed before my born-again experience, I am still plagued with guilt over these sins, and at times I feel that I am in the wrong by enjoying life, by laughing, by enjoying myself, having fun with brothers and sisters and friends. How do I get over this way of thinking, which I am assuming is a wrong way of thinking?"
Yes, of course it's a wrong way of thinking, because it's doubting enormous promises, simple promises, that the Lord Jesus and his apostles have made to us. And we are to gather together, compress in a great, heavy, strong ball. All our faith, and we are to give that ball to Jesus Christ. We're to lodge it in his wounded side. We are to place it in his crucified hands and say, this is my life, and it belongs to you, and you tell me now, nothing shall separate me from your love. Nothing. But if I confess my sins, you're faithful, you're just to forgive my sins. And I will not listen to Satan's voice when Satan says to me, it's too good to be true, and you have exhausted the mercy and the grace of God by confessing the same sins to God again and again. And you must say to him, get thee behind me, Satan. And you must say to yourself, where my sins abound, the grace of God far more abounds. It is super abundant. And that you can receive mercy and new mercies every morning from this Savior. And your calling then is not to do what you think you might do, but rather to rejoice in the Lord, in him. Not that you're such a poor Christian, I'm such a poor Christian. I'm a sinner, a doubting sinner, talking to doubting sinners today. But there is mercy for doubting sinners. If your faith is as thin as a spider's thread, and it is lodged in Jesus Christ, that faith will take you across the lake of fire and across the bottomless pit, and it will set you down in his presence with exceeding joy, so that when you see him, you will be like him. You'll see him as he is, his lovely face, the color of his eyes, his smiling teeth as he welcomes you. Well done, well done. So think about him. For every look at your sins, take 10 looks at him.
Amen. Well, I'm going to pick up where you left off there when we return to our program from our first station break. I have a follow-up question of my own in regard to that anonymous listener's question. If anybody else would like to join us on the air, we do have a couple of people still waiting to have their questions asked and answered. But if you'd like to get in line, please send us an email to chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com. And please, as always, give us your first name, your city and state, and your country of residence if you live outside the USA, and only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. Don't go away. God willing, we'll be right back with Jeff Thomas and our discussion on a ministry of encouragement. As host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, I frequently get requests from listeners for church recommendations. A church I've been strongly recommending as far back as the 1980s is Grace Covenant Baptist Church in Flemington, New Jersey, pastored by Alan Dunn. Grace Covenant Baptist believes it's God's prerogative to determine how he shall be worshipped and how he shall be represented in the world. They believe churches need to turn to the Bible to discover what to include in worship and how to worship God in spirit and truth. They endeavor to maintain a God-centered focus and to protect worship from the intrusion of carnal entertainments and distractions. Reading, preaching, and hearing the Word of God, singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, baptism, and communion are the scriptural elements of their corporate worship, performed with faith, joy, and sobriety. Discover more about Grace Covenant Baptist Church in Flemington, New Jersey at gcbcnj.squarespace.com. That's gcbcnj.squarespace.com. Or call them at 908-782-5446. That's 908-782-5446. Tell Pastor Dunn that you heard about Grace Covenant Baptist Church on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Alpha and Omega Ministries here. If you've watched my Dividing Line webcast often enough, you know I have a great love for getting Bibles and other documents vital to my ministry rebound to preserve and ensure their longevity. And besides that, they feel so good. I'm so delighted I discovered Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding. No radio ad will be long enough to sing their praises sufficiently, but I'll give it a shot. Jeffrey Rice of Post Tenebris Lux is a remarkably gifted craftsman and artisan. All his work is done by hand, from the cutting to the pleating of corners to the perimeter stitching. Jeffrey uses the finest and buttery soft imported leathers in a wide variety of gorgeous colors, like the turquoise goat skin tanned in Italy used for my Nestle All-In 28th edition, with a navy blue goat skin inside liner, and the electric blue goat skin from a French tannery used to rebind a Reformation study Bible I used as a gift. The silver gilding he added on the page edges has a stunning mirror finish resembling highly polished chrome. Jeffrey will customize your rebinding to your specifications and even emboss your logo into the leather, making whatever he rebinds a one-of-a-kind work of art. For more details on Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding, go to PTLBibleRebinding.com. That's PTLBibleRebinding.com.
Did you know that all believers are priests? In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, the Apostle Peter describes Christ's church as comprising a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, so that you may proclaim the excellencies of Him who has called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. So if you're a Christian, you're also a priest. Now you can find the newest styles in Reformed and Protestant apparel at citizenpriest.com. Citizenpriest.com specializes in Christian-themed t-shirts and clothing especially for Reformed Christians. Citizenpriest.com's merchandise is purposefully scripture-based and meant for the edification of the saints and the furtherance of the gospel. Let everyone know that you stand firm on the doctrines of the Reformed faith by wearing apparel from citizenpriest.com. Visit citizenpriest.com today.
Iron Sharpens Iron Radio is sponsored by Harvey Cedars, a year-round Bible conference and retreat center nestled on the Jersey Shore. Harvey Cedars offers a wide range of accommodations to suit groups up to 400. For generations, Christians have enjoyed gathering and growing at Harvey Cedars. Each year, thousands of high school and college students come and learn more about God's Word. An additional 9,000 come annually to Harvey Cedars as families, couples, singles, men, women, pastors, seniors, and missionaries. 90 miles from New York City, 70 miles from Philly, and 95 miles from Wilmington, and easily accessible, scores of notable Christian groups frequently plan conferences at Harvey Cedars, like the Navigators, InterVarsity Christian Fellowship, Campus Crusade, and the Alliance of Confessing Evangelicals. Find Harvey Cedars on Facebook or at hcbible.org, hcbible.org. Call 609-494-5689, 609-494-5689. Harvey Cedars, where Christ finds people and changes lives.
I'm Pastor Bill Shishko, host of A Visit to the Pastor's Study, and I am so thankful to be part of the advertising family right here on Iron Sharpens Iron. If you live on Long Island, or if you're visiting the metropolitan New York area, I invite you to join us for worship at The Haven on Sundays at 4:30 p.m. We meet at the Ascension Lutheran Church facility, 33 Bayshore Road in Deer Park, New York. At The Haven, you'll find God-saturated singing, gospel-rich ministry, and great commission opportunities. Learn more about us at thehavenli.com and join us this Sunday at 4:30 p.m. 33 Bayshore Road, Deer Park, New York.
Hey, this is Pete Orta, former guitar player for the Grammy Award-winning Christian rock band Petra. I'd like to invite you to my new podcast called Christian Conversations Unfiltered. This channel is much different than my sermon podcast. The episodes are intimate conversations with people who I enjoy about topics that I can't really unbox from the pulpit. Each episode is unproduced, unedited, and unapologetic. Conversations that might not only help you answer some relevant questions you might be struggling with, but also help create some questions in your head that you might not have even ever thought of. The purpose of this podcast is to help people apply their theology while broadening their biblical worldview. So go to PeteOrta.com, that's PeteOrta.com, and click subscribe to podcast, and then choose what podcast you'd like to hear, if not both, and what platform works best for you. Can't wait for you to join us. God bless.
Charles Haddon Spurgeon once said,
"Give yourself unto reading. The man who never reads will never be read. He who never quotes will never be quoted. He who will not use the thoughts of other men's brains proves that he has no brains of his own. You need to read."
Solid Ground Christian Books is a publisher and book distributor who takes these words of the Prince of Preachers to heart. The mission of Solid Ground Christian Books is to bring back treasures of the past to minister to Christians in the present and future, and to publish new titles that address burning issues in the church and the world. Since its beginning in 2001, Solid Ground has been committed to publish God-centered, Christ-exalting books for all ages. We invite you to go treasure hunting at solid-ground-books.com. That's solid-ground-books.com, and see what priceless literary gems from the past or present you can unearth from Solid Ground. Solid Ground Christian Books is honored to be a weekly sponsor of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And please don't forget solid-ground-books.com for Father's Day and for any other special event where you are giving a gift to somebody that you love. Keep in mind how important, how powerful it is to give a gift that actually contains the gospel of Jesus Christ that may be used of God to draw the lost to salvation and give them eternal life. So the gift would be far greater than you ever expected. And of course, even for your brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, this would be a great way to encourage them in the faith, which is our discussion today with Jeff Thomas. Please also always remember, every time you purchase a book from solid-ground-books.com, you help Iron Sharpens Iron Radio to remain on the air, because Solid Ground Christian Books is a primary sponsor of this program, and we could not exist without their financial support. That's solid-ground-books.com. Also, don't forget about our friends at IRBS Theological Seminary in Mansfield, Texas, one of our very important sponsors. We are working on getting a repaired advertisement back on the air. There's something wrong with the audio file for their commercial, so I want to make sure I verbally tell you that their website is irbsseminary.org, irbsseminary.org. Don't forget there's two S's back-to-back in the middle of that website. Sometimes people leave out a letter if there's two of them back-to-back like that. irbsseminary.org. And Dr. Jim Renahan is the president of that fine institution. We have interviewed a number of the faculty members on this program and look forward to having many more interviews with Dr. Renahan and his faculty of IRBS Theological Seminary. So remember, it's irbsseminary.org. And don't forget that August 22nd and 23rd, Dr. James Renahan will be live doing a presentation that you can interact with at irbsseminary.org. Mark that down on your calendar. That's irbsseminary.org. Well, we are now back with Jeff Thomas. And Jeff Thomas is well known to Reformed Christians worldwide, perhaps especially those who love the ministry of Banner of Truth and devour the books that they have in print, not only classics from the past, from even centuries ago, but also contemporary authors like our guest today, Reverend Jeff Thomas. And we here at Iron Sharpens Iron Radio greatly value Banner of Truth. Before we go back to our discussion, do you have a few words of description for Banner of Truth that might give our listeners who are unfamiliar with this ministry more of an understanding of who the Banner of Truth is?
Well, it has taken the best of God-honoring and inspirational, evangelistic, comforting, strengthening ministries, the church fathers, and then, of course, the great revival that took place in the 16th century under Luther, Calvin, Knox, Ridley, and so on. And then the next century, the Puritan peers, John Bunyan, and the next century then, Wesley and Whitfield and Jonathan Edwards, and the next century then, Princeton, Hodges, Spurgeon, the great missionary expansion of the church going out into China and into Africa, C.T. Studd and the other leaders like Hudson Taylor, and then the 20th century, Dr. Lloyd-Jones and the other men like John Murray, just the giants who thrilled and were under God used to join men and women in union with Jesus Christ forever. And this tradition, then, the living tradition of the Christian church, and bringing up the sermons and the theological works, the biographies, the hymnology, the metrical psalms, all these things which are such a heritage that's, if we neglect it, we are poorer Christians, and our worship is poorer as a result.
Amen. Well, if anybody wants to find out more about the Banner of Truth, whether it be in regard to their literature that they publish, or even special events that they orchestrate and host, their website is banneroftruth.org, banneroftruth.org. And you can even look up our guest, the Reverend Jeff Thomas, G-E-O-F-F Thomas, and there will be items there, whether a book or an audio recording or a video. They will have things available through Banner of Truth regarding our guest, Jeff Thomas. And let me repeat our email address if anybody wants to join us. Our email address is chrisarnson@gmail.com. If you have a question for Jeff Thomas, especially on encouragement, you can ask any theological question, but we are particularly discussing a ministry of encouragement, and that's chrisarnson@gmail.com. As always, give us your first name, city and state, and country of residence if you live outside the USA, and only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. To pick up again on that question that an anonymous listener sent in, for those of you who just tuned in, we have a listener who is so grieved over his sin before he became a Christian that he finds it difficult to enjoy life now, even though he knows that he has been redeemed by Christ and saved, and that his sins will no longer send him to hell. He will no longer be punished for his sins, although even Christians are chastised by a loving Father for our sins that we commit. But he is so overwhelmed, he even feels guilty when he enjoys life because of these sins. And what I was going to say is, one thing that has helped me when I've started to think in a similar fashion, and when I've even begun to think of how people behind bars would benefit from this, those who have become saved, even though they have committed horrific acts, horrific crimes that have gotten them arrested and imprisoned, there are, I'm sure, many countless of people in that circumstance who are truly born again now. But I have thought to myself, and I want you to comment on this and see if I have a right train of thought here, Reverend Thomas. When I get plunged into the depths of depression thinking about sins, especially past sins in my life, and I have felt guilt just as our listener has expressed over enjoying life and so on, one thing that I have done is reminded myself that God does not want me as an ambassador in his name to be curled up in a fetal position and be immovable and be enslaved to this depression and sorrow and grief. He does not want me to be morbidly introspective. He wants me to be an effective witness, and he wants me to show the world that he has forgiven me of my sin, and that I am rejoicing over his sacrifice. And obviously, that is going to be a far greater testimony to those in this lost world we live in, rather than me becoming a hermit behind closed doors, lying in the dark in a fetal position and crying myself to sleep. Am I somewhere on the right train of thought here?
Yes, of course. Of course you are. But, yes, I... When I find people who don't know if they're a Christian or not, are conscious of their sins and, I don't know if I'm a believer, this is what I say to them. I say to them, now, can you say, I don't know if I know him as my Lord and Savior? I don't have assurance. I don't have certainty that he's my Lord and my Savior. But I know that if I had him as my Lord and Savior, I would be safe. If you can say that, can you say that? I'd say, can you say, if you knew that he was your Lord and your Savior, then you would be safe? And they'd say, oh yes, oh, I do believe that. If I had him as my Lord and Savior, I'd be safe. Then I say to them, then you're a Christian. Because only a Christian thinks like that. Only a Christian would say words like that. I don't know. I haven't got any certainty, any assurance that he's my Savior because I'm so conscious of my sins. But I know, if I had him as my Lord and Savior, I'd be safe. That's a Christian. And that is a ministry of encouragement that God has given me to help people who have battled all their lives through with a lack of assurance, and they have tolerated being overwhelmed with the memories of all the bad things that they've done, the people they hurt, and so on. And that's how I try to encourage them to think it's not your faith and it's not your assurance that saves and keeps you. It's his love for you. That he says, if you come to me, I will in no way cast you out. You come to me. Just come. It's a movement of your heart and mind, even now as you hear my words. And just come, just as you are. And put your trust for this world and the world to come in the loving, welcoming hands of Jesus Christ, our Savior.
Amen. We have Susan Margaret in Dauphin County, Pennsylvania, who has a question, and she asks, I know that modern evangelicalism seems to be preoccupied and consumed with the self-esteem movement, and sometimes we who are Calvinists go the other direction and speak of men only as being disgusting and vile sinners and worms. And isn't there a middle ground where we can be encouraging to our brothers and sisters in Christ especially without going overboard and pouring flattery upon them, which is actually false praise just to lift up the spirits and cheer up people using exaggerated compliments?
Oh, well, she has expressed that very elegantly, hasn't she, and helpfully. And, Psalm 19 is the most helpful psalm there in its estimation of man. What is man? That God has set his lover upon us. What is man that causes us to rejoice? the heavens above declare his glory. Day unto day utters speech, night unto night reveals knowledge. We rejoice in the revelation that God has given to us in the world around us and in the people around us of an earlier grace, a grace that shows itself in your grandparents' generation and the people you knew as a little girl. And they weren't all that discerning, but they had a sweetness of character, a modesty of life, a loveliness of disposition. They kept a day each week special. They went to church. They were conscious of obeying their conscience because of an earlier grace that they had received from parents and grandparents and which you spotted in them. Fine people. And we can thank God for that generation that made America and made the United Kingdom a place where you needn't lock your doors at night, because there was a morality and a high regard for figures of authority and an estimation of trustworthiness in professing Christians and in men of God. And that was because there was much light and much power in the lives of these people. And so we do rejoice in people. We don't rubbish everyone. And it was Pharisees who heaped burdens upon other people that Jesus rebuked and called them and a nest of snakes, and that they were people that were corrupt. But he didn't do that to the common people who came. He didn't do that to the 12 men, young men who came. And he said to them, you're the salt of the earth. You're the light of the world. And they must have looked at in astonishment at one another, because they weren't experienced in suffering or in preaching when he called them apart and commissioned them to go and serve him. He had confidence in them. And so there is this balance. The Bible's doctrine of the fallenness of man, the deceitfulness of his heart, the corruptness of men and women, and yet there is the awareness of an earlier grace which goes back to the creation of man in God's image and likeness, which the evolutionists will furiously deny. But since that time, there has been, through centuries, God's mercy, God's kindness, God's goodness. When Paul is on Athens, he reminds men and women of this: in him you live and move and have your being. He tells those brilliant people in Athens, he doesn't rubbish them all, but he tells them that they also need to repent. God commands, he says, all men everywhere to turn from their sin and unbelief and trust in Christ. And that's our message, to give credit where credit is due, because it honors the God who made men and women in his image, but tells them that's not enough, or a Savior would not have been needed to have been sent to us. I think those are the ways I would go about maintaining the balance.
Now, this theme of our show today is a ministry of encouragement, and yeah. I'm assuming that you would encourage, no pun intended, people who are listening to perhaps, if they are aware that there are discouraged people in the congregation, or perhaps they're not specifically aware of it, but they just want to make sure that those that may be privately dealing with discouragement and sorrow and depression are encouraged, that they might want to start a quote-unquote ministry of encouragement. I'm not talking about some kind of an office bearer, if they are not qualified to bear office. I'm speaking of where somebody might say to themselves, I am going to find genuine things, not false compliments and flattery, but I'm going to find genuine things about my brothers and sisters that they have as far as their attributes, as far as their deeds, their talents, their gifts. And I'm going to make it a point every Sunday or perhaps even every day to contact at least one of them and tell them,
excellent.
I want you to know that I have noticed this about you, and give them a word of encouragement. Would that not be a
excellent.
Good start of a ministry of encouragement?
Consider how we may spur one another on. Hebrews, are we considering other people? Do you know roughly where other people in your church stand, what their position is? I'm not speaking about inquisitorial prying into another. I'm not talking about some censorious attitude, but being aware of the needs in the congregation. Do you know who in the church is discouraged just now? Who's close to giving up? Who is weak? Who's feeble-minded? Do you know where the problems are? Where the risks are? Do you know where people stand? Where the real needs are? And you think, well, the officers know. Well, perhaps they do. But do you know? Consider one another, he says. Do you know where the sorrows are and the anxieties and the dangers, where people are losing heart, where they're falling by the wayside? And exactly what you say, consider how you may spur one another on. Keep on, brother. Keep on, sister. We need you so that you are aware of everyone in the fellowship. You're called upon by God to take part in a ministry of consolation. The Hebrew Christians, they were standing side by side with those cruelly treated, weren't they? They were in the stocks. And so the Christian then got up on the platform and stood alongside them and glared at the people throwing dead carts and stones at them and showing that they stood in solidarity with this Christian. And others were imprisoned, and they went there and they took creature comforts, and they weren't ashamed to go into the prison and help these people in need. Paul says, comfort one another with these words. And that's the ministry. Just a word, a lisping, stammering tongue can be used to help dry and fainting and weary Christians who are finding the correction that they're having from God not easy to bear. And you are to prevent them wilting and giving up altogether. Paul speaks about the outward man perishing, doesn't he? That the burdens that some Christians have to bear are so heavy. The load that they have to carry. Well, move in. Move in prayerfully. And help them and speak to them. So it's very interesting, you know, there's a verse in James 1:9 where James talks about the brother of low degree. So this is the humblest person in the congregation. He's literate. He's never married. He's got a dog. He hardly talks to anyone. He slips in and he sits there. And he's been a street cleaner all his life. He's done nothing. He feels utterly unimportant. He's of low degree. Now, this is you to be your ambition, to make that ignored, unattractive person feel good. Make him feel really important. Make him feel proud that he's got something to boast about, that God loved him before the foundation of the world, that Jesus became the Lamb of God and died for him, that in heaven now he whispers that guy's name in the ears of his Father in heaven. He says, Father, send the spirit of comfort and strength into that brother. Show him his high position in grace, that God protects him and keeps him, that the Holy Spirit indwells him and God is working everything together for his good. Let him boast in that and take pride in that and glory in that and feel good about that. Well, that's what the Lord wants us to do in our ministry, not just to the their handsome, beautiful students and teenagers, or the young married couples that we envy so much because we're single, but we don't ignore the humble little people who are there.
Amen. And we have to get to our midway break right now, and we could pick up where you left off, brother. This is the longer than normal break because Grace Life Radio, 90.1 FM in Lake City, Florida, requires of us a longer break in the middle of our show since they have to, by FCC regulations, air things that localize Grace Life Radio to Lake City, Florida, public service announcements and so on. So please use this time wisely while they air their own commercials and public service announcements on Grace Life Radio, and we air ours that are heard globally. Please write down the information provided by our advertisers so that you can more frequently and successfully patronize them, because we rely upon our advertisers to exist. And if you patronize them, they are more likely going to remain our advertisers, which means that we will remain on the air, God willing, for a longer period of time. So please write down that information. And also, please send in a question to Reverend Jeff Thomas on encouragement or any other theological issue that you care to ask about, but specifically, more importantly, on encouragement. Our email address is chrisarnson@gmail.com. chrisarnson@gmail.com. Don't go away, God willing. We're going to be right back after these messages from our sponsors.
James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries here. If you've watched my Dividing Line webcast often enough, you know I have a great love for getting Bibles and other documents vital to my ministry rebound to preserve and ensure their longevity. And besides that, they feel so good. I'm so delighted I discovered Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding. No radio ad will be long enough to sing their praises sufficiently, but I'll give it a shot. Jeffrey Rice of Post Tenebris Lux is a remarkably gifted craftsman and artisan. All his work is done by hand, from the cutting to the pleating of corners to the perimeter stitching. Jeffrey uses the finest and buttery soft imported leathers in a wide variety of gorgeous colors, like the turquoise goat skin tanned in Italy used for my Nessie Allen 28th edition, with a navy blue goat skin inside liner, and the electric blue goat skin from a French tannery used to rebind a Reformation study Bible I used as a gift. The silver gilding he added on the page edges has a stunning mirror finish resembling highly polished chrome. Jeffrey will customize your rebinding to your specifications and even emboss your logo into the leather, making whatever he rebinds a one-of-a-kind work of art. For more details on Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding, go to ptlbiblerebinding.com. That's ptlbiblerebinding.com.
My name is Steve Lawson, founder and president of One Passion Ministries, as well as teaching fellow for Ligonier Ministries. I serve as professor of preaching and oversee the Doctor of Ministry program at the Master's Seminary in Los Angeles. I would like to recommend the church where one of my preaching students, Andy Woodard, serves as the pastor. It's called New Covenant Church, NYC. They are a Reformed Baptist church that meets in Midtown Manhattan. You can find their service times and location on their website, which is www.ncc.nyc. They believe in a sovereign God who commands all men everywhere to repent and believe the gospel. If you're looking for a church that believes in expository preaching, which is simply biblical preaching, in New York City, I'd like to recommend that you visit New Covenant Church, NYC. Again, their information can be found at www.ncc.nyc. Have a great day.
One sure way all Iron Sharpens Iron radio listeners can help keep my show on the air is to support my advertisers. I know you all use batteries every day, so I'm urging you all from now on to exclusively use BatteryDepot.com for all your battery needs. At BatteryDepot.com, they're changing the status quo. They're flipping the script. They're sticking it to the man. In other words, they'd like to change the battery industry for good by providing an extensive inventory of top-of-the-line batteries that are uniformly new, dependable, and affordable. Ordering from BatteryDepot.com ensures you'll always get fresh out-of-the-box batteries you can count on to work properly at competitive prices. Whether you need batteries for cordless phones, cell phones, radios, PCs, laptops, tablets, baby monitors, hearing aids, smoke detectors, credit card readers,
digital cameras, electronic cigarettes, GPSs, MP3 players, watches, or nearly anything else you own that needs batteries. Go to BatteryDepot.com. Next day shipping available. All products protected by 30-day guarantees and 6-month warranties. Call 866-403-3768. That's 866-403-3768. Or go to BatteryDepot.com. That's BatteryDepot.com.
I'm Dr. Gary Kimbrell, pastor of Bethlehem Baptist Church in Laurel, Mississippi. God tells us in James 1:27 that pure and undefiled religion is to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction. In the providence of God, 3 years ago, I discovered a poor small church outside Lusaka, Zambia, in a township called Kabanana, who are taking care of 24 orphans. I found them just at the time when they had lost all their funding. What was I to do? Could I just say, God bless you, and walk away? The situation of the children sat heavily upon me. As I was praying concerning this need, it came to me, I trust from the Lord, to tell the orphans' plight to a broader audience. The entire need for their clothing, food, education, and some medical services is $73 per month per child. If just 50 of us would give $35 a month, we could meet the need. Bethlehem Baptist Church will pay the fee to get the funds there, so if you give a dollar will get to the orphans. In this season of hope and giving, will you consider giving hope to 24 orphans? Please send your gift of any amount to Bethlehem Baptist Church, 838 Reed Road, Laurel, Mississippi, 3944. Or donate through our website, bbclaurel.com. Again, the address is Bethlehem Baptist Church, 838 Reed Road, Laurel, Mississippi, 39443, or bbclaurel.com. Thank you.
Chris Sorensen, host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio here. I want to tell you about a man I have personally known for many years. His name is Dan Buttafuoco. Dan is a personal injury and medical malpractice lawyer, but not the type that typically comes to mind. Dan cares about people and is a theologian himself. Recently, he wrote a book titled Consider the Evidence for the Bible. Ravi Zacharias wrote the foreword. Dan also has a master's degree in theology. Dan handles serious injury and medical malpractice cases in all 50 states. He represents many Christians in serious injury matters all over the country. Dan is an exceptional trial lawyer. He wrote the test for the National Board of Trial Advocacy. And currently his firm has over 100 cases that have settled for $1 million or more, and in approximately 10 different states. In Illinois, his lawyers had the fourth largest settlement in the state's history. In New York, his case involving a paralyzed police officer made the front page of the Law Journal. If you have a serious personal injury or medical malpractice claim in any state, I recommend that you call Dan. Consultations are free. There is no fee unless you win. Dan Buttafuoco's number is 1-800-669-4878. 1-800-669-4878. Or email me for Dan's contact information at chrisarnzen@gmail.com. That's chrisarnzen@gmail.com.
Charles Haddon Spurgeon once said,
"Give yourself unto reading. The man who never reads will never be read. He who never quotes will never be quoted. He who will not use the thoughts of other men's brains proves that he has no brains of his own. You need to read."
Solid Ground Christian Books is a publisher and book distributor who takes these words of the Prince of Preachers to heart. The mission of Solid Ground Christian Books is to bring back treasures of the past to minister to Christians in the present and future, and to publish new titles that address burning issues in the church and the world. Since its beginning in 2001, Solid Ground has been committed to publish God-centered, Christ-exalting books for all ages. We invite you to go treasure hunting at solid-ground-books.com. That's solid-ground-books.com and see what priceless literary gems from the past or present you can unearth from Solid Ground. Solid Ground Christian Books is honored to be a weekly sponsor of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Iron Sharpens Iron welcomes Solid Rock Remodeling to our family of sponsors. Serving South Central Pennsylvania, Solid Rock Remodeling is focused on discovering,
understanding, and exceeding your expectations. They deliver personalized project solutions with exceptional results. Solid Rock Remodeling offers a full range of home renovations, including kitchen and bath remodeling, decks, porches, windows and doors, roof and siding, and more. For a clear, detailed professional estimate, call this trustworthy team of problem solvers who provide superior results that stand the test of time. Call Solid Rock Remodeling at 717-697-1981, 717-697-1981, or visit solidrockremodeling.com. That's solidrockremodeling.com. Solid Rock Remodeling, bringing new life to your home.
I'm Pastor Billy Linhart of Sovereign Grace Particular Baptist Church of San Angelo, Texas, and I'm thrilled to have joined the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio family of sponsors. We fully subscribe to the Second London Baptist Confession of Faith as a faithful summary of the most vital biblical truths, desire to worship the triune God of the Holy Scriptures in spirit and truth, and seek to make His glory known in the Concho Valley, West Texas, and beyond. Sovereign Grace PBC of San Angelo purposes to center our worship on the Holy Scriptures and the Gospel of Jesus Christ in the hope that He will grow us in love and the unity of truth. After Sunday services, join us for a fellowship meal, followed by our ladies' fellowship and our children's Sunday school class. If you're looking for a church in West Texas that's serious about the Word of God and worship that pleases Him, come visit us. For details about Sovereign Grace Particular Baptist Church of San Angelo, Texas, email sgbcsa@gmail.com or visit us at sgbcsa.com. That's sgbcsa.com.
Hi, I'm Buzz Taylor, frequent co-host with Chris Ironson on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. I would like to introduce you to my good friends Todd and Patty Jennings at CVBBS, which stands for Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service. Todd and Patty specialize in supplying Reformed and Puritan books and Bibles at discount prices that make them affordable to everyone. Since 1987, the family-owned and operated book service has sought to bring you the best available Christian books and Bibles at the best possible prices. Unlike other book sites, they make no effort to provide every book that is available because, frankly, much of what is being printed is not worth your time. That means you can get to the good stuff faster. It also means that you don't have to worry about being assaulted by the pornographic, heretical, and otherwise faith-insulting material promoted by the secular book vendors. Their website is cvbbs.com. Browse the pages at ease, shop at your leisure, and purchase with confidence as Todd and Patty work in service to you, the church, and to Christ. That's Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service at cvbbs.com. That's cvbbs.com. Let Todd and Patty know that you heard about them on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And don't forget, you can call cvbbs.com at the toll-free number, 800-656-0231, 800-656-0231. They man that phone line typically Monday through Friday between 10 a.m. and 4:30 p.m. Eastern Time. And they have two excellent offers. For a purchase of any amount, no matter how small, you will receive the free book, True Love, Understanding the Real Meaning of Christian Love by James M. Renahan. This is a publication of Evangelical Press. And when I say it's a free book, Evangelical Press doesn't give it away for free. CVBBS.com will give it away for free with any purchase, no matter how small, as long as you mention in the comments section that you want the free book, True Love, Understanding the Real Meaning of Christian Love by James M. Renahan, who is the president of IRBS Theological Seminary, whose advertisements you hear on this program. And just to remind you, their website is irbsseminary.org. You will also get, on top of this free book, True Love, if you purchase $50 or more. Keep in mind, the first offer is for any amount that you spend, but the second offer is for $50 or more. You will get my favorite biography of all biographies, A Pastor in New York, The Life and Times of Spencer Cone, by renowned Christian historian John Thornberry, a dear friend of mine going back to the 1980s. This is my favorite of all biographies. You will love it, too, if you truly love church history and you love the gospel of Jesus Christ, especially, I think, if you're a Baptist, and especially even more so if you're a Reformed Baptist. But I think any Christian would love reading this book. It's utterly fascinating and should be made into a major motion picture, and I'm not exaggerating when I say that. It should, at the very least, become a documentary on the life and times of Spencer Cone, a 19th century Calvinistic Baptist pastor in Manhattan, First Baptist Church of New York City. So if you want that second book, what you've got to do is you've got to include it in your cart when you're shopping at cvbbs.com, and you would add on top of that $50 worth of merchandise, and then you would add the coupon code Iron Sharpens Iron. That's all one word, all capital letters, and that will deduct the price of a pastor in New York from your total. And by the way, this is a gorgeous hardback book, A Pastor in New York, The Life and Times of Spencer Cone by John Thornberry. So please contact cvbbs.com and get those two items for free. And if you call them, it'll be an easier way, perhaps, to just verbally tell them about those two offers that you want to take advantage of. 800-656-0231, 800-656-0231, Monday through Friday between 10 a.m. and 4:30 p.m. Eastern Time. Just have a couple of announcements to make in regard to events that are coming up. First of all, there is a marriage seminar that's coming up at Trinity Baptist Church in Montville, New Jersey. And my friend, Pastor Alan Dunn, who I've known since the 1980s, he is going to be speaking on this or at this conference titled Enjoying True Love, What Does the Gospel Have to Do with It? Pastor Alan Dunn is the pastor at Grace Covenant Baptist Church in Flemington, New Jersey, whose ads you just started hearing today for the first time. They are a new sponsor of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, and we're thrilled about that. But the conference is being held at Trinity Baptist Church in Montville, New Jersey. So I hope that you will register for this event, and if you want more details, you can send an email to office@tbcnj.org. That's office@tbc, which stands for Trinity Baptist Church, NJ, which stands for New Jersey, .org. office@tbcnj.org. If you send them an email, they will send you a form to fill out to register for this conference, Enjoying True Love, What Does the Gospel Have to Do with It? And this conference is $80 per couple, and it is a conference that lasts for several days, and you will get all of that information when you send that email to Trinity Baptist Church of Montville, New Jersey. So I hope that as many of you will take advantage of that. The exact dates, by the way, are August 30th through September 2nd. August 30th through September 2nd in Montville, New Jersey. And Trinity Baptist Church is located on 160 Change Bridge Road in Montville, New Jersey. And the website is trinitymontville.org. Trinity, M-O-N-T-V-I-L-L-E.org. Then coming up in December, the event where my guest, Jeff Thomas, will be on the speaking roster will take place December 19th and 20th, which is a Thursday and Friday. What a gorgeous time to visit New York City right in the Christmas season. And I am so looking forward to this. I always look forward to attending the Foundations Conference, a conference of sermonaudio.com. And in addition to our friend Jeff Thomas, the roster also includes Dr. Stephen J. Lawson, the founder of One Passion Ministries. You've been hearing his voice every day promoting New Covenant Church NYC, a church in Manhattan that sponsors Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Paul Washer is also on the roster. My friend Armin Tomasian, an extraordinary pastor that I believe will be a household name over the next decade amongst Reformed Christians. He is that good, that powerful, that gifted. Richard Caldwell Jr. and Andrew Quigley are also on the roster. I have not yet heard these two brethren preach, but if sermonaudio.com selected them for this conference, I have no doubt that they're going to be excellent. If you want to register, do so quickly because they only have room for less than 200 people. at this conference. So go to thefoundationsconference.com, thefoundationsconference.com. And then after that, the G3 conference is being held in January, from Thursday, January 16th through Saturday, January 18th, and I intend to be there manning an exhibitor's booth for Iron Sharpens and Zion Radio again. The theme is Worship Matters, and the speakers are always extraordinary, and this January is no exception. Costi Hinn is on the roster. He is the nephew of the notorious charlatan Benny Hinn, but Costi, thankfully, due to the grace and mercy of God, has been delivered from the Word of Faith heresy. He has repented of it, and he exposes it every chance he gets by God's grace and good providence to reveal just how evil, deadly, and damning these heresies of the Word of Faith movement are. He is on the roster. He is not only a Reformed Baptist today and a Reformed Baptist pastor, but he is also a cessationist. Remarkable young man, Costi Hinn. David Miller is on the roster, a really phenomenal preacher. Derek Thomas, if everybody listening knows who Jeff Thomas is, I have a feeling they probably also know who Derek Thomas is. These men are both giants of the contemporary church in the Reformed faith. And when I say contemporary, I just mean the church today. I don't mean that they are playing rock music in the churches. But Derek Thomas is also a phenomenal preacher. James R. White, my friend of many years, is on the roster. Joel Beakey, another extraordinary preacher that I've known since the 1980s and have called my friend. Josh Bice, the founder of the G3 Conference, which stands for Gospel, Grace, and Glory, by the way. Stephen J. Lawson and Paul Washer, once again, they are both on the roster at this conference as well. My friend Dr. Tom Askell, the founder of Founders Ministries, or the executive director of Founders Ministries, which is the Calvinistic ministry at the Southern Baptist Convention. And also Vody Balcom, another phenomenal Reformed preacher. These are all of the speakers on the roster. So if you want to attend the G3 conference in January, from Thursday, January 16th through Saturday, January 18th, 2020, go to g3conference.com. G3conference.com. And I would strongly urge you, if you have a business or a parachurch organization that you want to promote to the body of Christ, there's going to be over 5,000 people at this conference, as there are every year they have it, at least since they moved into the Georgia International Convention Center in College Park, Georgia. They have had well over 5,000 people there. So I am going to be manning a booth there. Hopefully you will be manning one near me, if you have a business or parachurch organization that you want to promote. So I would register not only to attend, but register for an exhibitor's booth while there's still time at g3conference.com, g3conference.com. And now, once again, I have to do something that I really don't like to do, but I need to do it. If you love this show and you don't want us to go away, you don't want us to disappear from the airwaves, please go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. You could donate instantly with a debit or credit card in that fashion. If you prefer snail mail, there will be an address that appears on the screen where you can send in a check made out to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Please, we need your donations and your advertising more than ever. We are facing some scary times, especially in July, financially, so please help us out. Please, if you love the show and don't want us to go away, please donate as frequently as you can and as heavily as you can and as generously as you can. And these are the two caveats that I remind you about every day. Never siphon money away from your regular giving to your local church in order to give to Iron Sharpens and Zion Radio. Never do that. And never put your family in financial jeopardy by giving to Iron Sharpens and Zion Radio. Those two things are commands of God, providing for your church and home. Providing for this show is not a command of God. But if you are financially blessed by God, above and beyond your ability to obey those two commands, please donate as frequently as you can and as generously as you can to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. If you want to advertise with us, we really do need your advertising dollars. So as long as you're promoting something that is compatible with what we believe in Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, we will help you launch an ad campaign as quickly as possible. That's chrisarnson@gmail.com is the email address where you send in that email letting me know that you want to advertise with us, and put advertising in the subject line. That's chrisarnson@gmail.com. Please help us if you don't want us to disappear. And if you are blessed above and beyond your ability to obey those two commands of providing for church and home. And also, that's the email address where you can send in a question to Jeff Thomas, chrisarnson@gmail.com, chrisarnson@gmail.com. Give us your first name, your city and state, and your country of residence if you live outside the USA. Only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal, private matter. Reverend Thomas, we have a question for you from Cork, Ireland. And let me see here. We have Mary in Cork, Ireland says, how would you go about encouraging some Christians who have been spiritually abused by leadership and do not go to a church because they're afraid? Thank you for this refreshing and encouraging interview.
Wow. So, well, I couldn't send people back into a fellowship where the leadership were ignoring abusive other leaders. And unless that was properly dealt with, then you couldn't say, well, go back. You're not to be a punchbag for people who abuse their privileged office as men of God in that church, who are doing what the sons of Eli did so dreadfully, and the judgment of God came on them. But there are, there may be other churches, or those people may have been removed from office, and then it is possible to find grace from God, to show mercy and pardon. You think of the early church, and there weren't denominations and congregations then that divided from one another. There was simply one church in one area. Here is a church, and it consists of the widows and the orphans of people that Saul of Tarsus had once cast stones against and condemned to death. And they are hurting so much because of this. This man is converted. This man confesses he's the chief of sinners. He acknowledges that he did wrong, and he is filled with grief about his previous life. And you must then, by the grace of God, show forgiveness, as you are a sinner whose sins crucified Jesus Christ. And God has forgiven you for those sins, and you then can forgive the lesser sins that men have done against you. It's hard. It's terribly hard. But it's not impossible, because where sin abounds, grace much more abounds. As I've said, we can be more than conquerors of hostility. We can be men who and women who testify to the wonderful change that's taken place in their lives that now enables them to say to these people, you're my brother, you're my sister. And you have the same Heavenly Father that Saul of Tarsus had and that those he hurt had. And you can go and find grace from him to cope with the enormous challenge of reconciliation and forgiveness. You know, don't overcome evil with evil. Overcome evil with good.
Amen. And of course, I don't want to be insensitive to people who have been harmed by churches, especially those who have been in cults, and all kinds of things that have gone on, even in theologically sound churches. But at the same time, I'm sure that most people in those circumstances would recognize that it is sinful and wrong to broad brush and be bigoted against any group of people because of the actions of some of those people. And that goes the same for the church. And just because one church has been abusive to someone doesn't mean that all churches are like that. In fact, you could even look at the apostles and say that people would have a legitimate reason to not join the apostles in their following Christ because of what Judas did. Now, that would be obviously wrong to blame Jesus and the apostles for Judas. So we have to remember that just because we might have even been harmed in unspeakable ways, that does not mean that every church or every pastor or every Christian is guilty of those sins. Am I right?
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Exactly. That's a very good analogy.
And let's see here. We have John in Bangor, Maine wants to know, what kind of encouragement should we give to those who are lost? Obviously, we should never give comfort to people to remain in their rebellion against Jesus Christ. But at the same time, I don't think that Jesus intends for us to be so cold and unlikable that would be the result of us never encouraging anybody who was lost. The lost were obviously drawn to Jesus in ways additional to the drawing of the Holy Spirit. They were obviously found something intriguing about him and the disciples that made them want to spend time with them. So how could we go about this without being unnecessarily and even sinfully encouraging?
Yeah, well, that's a wonderful question, too. There's a wonderful verse in the prophecy of Nahum, chapter 1 and verse 7, where God says three things. He says, the Lord is good. That's the first thing. And you can say that. You can say, you've gone to a hospital to visit a relative or a member of your church, and then you've gone to the next beds around that person and lonely people there, and you talk to them. You can say to every one of them, hasn't the Lord been good to you? Hasn't God been good to you? Look at all the blessings you've had in life. Look at the health and long life and the happy marriage and the wonderful parents you had and the peace in our land now. The Lord, he is the author of all these things, and he's good. He is good because he's covenanted not to destroy the world with a flood again. He's especially good to his people. The Lord is good. He's been a good Lord to you. And then he's a stronghold in the day of trouble. This is a day of trouble. You wouldn't be here in hospital if it wasn't a day of trouble for you. But there's a stronghold. When Mary and Martha's brother died, they went and told Jesus. They went to the stronghold. They told Jesus about it. And let me encourage you then to go to Jesus and tell Jesus about your worries and concerns. And that's the second thing you can say to the unbeliever. The Lord, he is a stronghold in the day of trouble because the Lord is good. It doesn't mean that there are no days of trouble. And then thirdly, you can say to them, he knows them that trust in him. He knows them. No, in the Bible, to know means to love. Adam knew his wife Eve, and that knowledge was a loving knowledge. It was a passionate, it was an intimate knowledge. And the Lord is one who knows us. And he knows those who trust in him. So you encourage them then to. It's a good Anglo-Saxon word, trust, isn't it? Faith comes from that Latin fide, and it's rather an intimidating, a strong monosyllable faith. But trust, you trust your bedside clock to tell you it's 8:21, long past your getting up time. Get out of bed. You can trust that. Or you can trust everything Jesus said and everything Jesus did. That's what we can say. That this is an eminently trustworthy Christ. And so there are three things there in Nahum 1:7 that you can tell anybody in the world.
Amen. We have a listener, Bobby in Hartsdale, New York, who wants to know, should we ever be embarrassed to take things to the Lord in prayer that to most others might appear to be trivial matters, things that are small when compared to the major problems in this world, but at the same time, they are things that are thorns in our flesh, things that bring about depression and discouragement, even though they are tiny?
Yes, quite so. There's a controversy, a theological controversy going on in Britain at the present time of people who say they don't believe in the micromanagement of God. They believe in his macromanagement. He's in charge of the planets and of the nations of the world, but they don't believe in his micromanagement of the tiny things that happen. But really, aren't we tested most of all in the little things? Doesn't the Lord speak to us about people being faithful in the little things? Don't you see, so often, out of the most little decisions you made, you'd go along to a certain meeting and you met your husband there. Or you listened to some advice, or you read a little tract that someone had given you, and your whole life changed as a result of it. The very hairs of your head are all numbered. He is a God who determines when the sparrow shall fall to the ground. So there's nothing too little that you can take to God and tell God about and give him thanks for and ask him to help you with the perplexities that little things cause in our lives.
Amen. And I'm assuming you would also agree that if you are conscious of the fact that you might be consumed with many little things and it is causing you to prevent a fuller, more robust, and important prayer life, especially for those other than yourself, you might want to pray that the Lord makes you less anxious and consumed with those little things. Would I be wrong in saying that?
Yes, of course, Chris. Of course, that we shouldn't be. That we, how little we know about the kingdom of God. And when a window is open, when somebody comes and speaks to us, when they share with us their life or the life of their church or a situation far away, and we think, how broad, how magnificent is the church, and what am I worried about these little things for? And that encourages us to get some perspective on our troubles.
Amen. We have to go to our final break right now. It's much shorter than the last break, so please send in your question immediately because we're rapidly running out of time. If you have a question, it's chrisarnson@gmail.com. chrisarnson@gmail.com. Don't go away, God willing. We're going to be right back after these messages with our final segment of today's interview with Jeff Thomas on a ministry of encouragement.
Lynbrook Baptist Church on 225 Earl Avenue in Lynbrook, Long Island, is teaching God's timeless truths in the 21st century.
Our church is far more than a Sunday worship service.
It's a place of learning where the scriptures are studied and the preaching of the gospel is clear and relevant.
It's like a gym where one can exercise their faith through community involvement.
It's like a hospital for wounded souls where one can find compassionate people and healing.
We're a diverse family of all ages,
enthusiastically serving our Lord Jesus Christ
in fellowship, play, and together.
Hi, I'm Pastor Bob Waldeman, and I invite you to come and join us here at Lynbrook Baptist Church and see all that a church can be.
Call Lynbrook Baptist at 516-599-9402. That's 516-599-9402, or visit lynbrookbaptist.org. That's lynbrookbaptist.org.
I
Every day at thousands of community centers, high schools, middle schools, juvenile institutions, coffee shops, and local hangouts, Long Island Youth for Christ staff and volunteers meet with young people who need Jesus. We are rural and urban, and we are always about the message of Jesus. Our mission is to have a noticeable spiritual impact on Long Island, New York by engaging young people in the lifelong journey of following Christ. Long Island Youth for Christ has been a stalwart bedrock ministry since 1959. We have a world-class staff and a proven track record of bringing consistent love and encouragement to youths in need all over the country and around the world. Help honor our history by becoming a part of our future. Volunteer, donate, pray, or all of the above. For details, call Long Island Youth for Christ at 631-385-8333. That's 631-385-8333. Or visit liyfc.org. That's liyfc.org.
I'm Pastor Bill Shishko, host of A Visit to the Pastor's Study, and I am so thankful to be part of the advertising family right here on Iron Sharpens Iron. If you live on Long Island, or if you're visiting the metropolitan New York area, I invite you to join us for worship at The Haven on Sundays at 4:30 p.m. We meet at the Ascension Lutheran Church facility, 33 Bayshore Road in Deer Park, New York. At The Haven, you'll find God-saturated singing, gospel-rich ministry, and great commission opportunities. Learn more about us at thehavenli.com and join us this Sunday at 4:30 p.m., 33 Bayshore Road, Deer Park, New York.
Charles Haddon Spurgeon once said,
"Give yourself unto reading. The man who never reads will never be read. He who never quotes will never be quoted. He who will not use the thoughts of other men's brains proves that he has no brains of his own. You need to read."
Solid Ground Christian Books is a publisher and book distributor who takes these words of the Prince of Preachers to heart. The mission of Solid Ground Christian Books is to bring back treasures of the past to minister to Christians in the present and future, and to publish new titles that address burning issues in the church and the world. Since its beginning in 2001, Solid Ground has been committed to publish God-centered, Christ-exalting books for all ages. We invite you to go treasure hunting at solid-ground-books.com. That's solid-ground-books.com and see what priceless literary gems from the past or present you can unearth from Solid Ground. Solid Ground Christian Books is honored to be a weekly sponsor of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
My name is Steve Lawson, founder and president of One Passion Ministries, as well as teaching fellow for Ligonier Ministries. I serve as professor of preaching and oversee the Doctor of Ministry program at the Master's Seminary in Los Angeles. I would like to recommend the church where one of my preaching students, Andy Woodard, serves as the pastor. It's called New Covenant Church, NYC. They are a Reformed Baptist church that meets in Midtown Manhattan. You can find their service times and location on their website, which is www.ncc.nyc. They believe in a sovereign God who commands all men everywhere to repent and believe the gospel. If you're looking for a church that believes in expository preaching, which is simply biblical preaching, in New York City, I'd like to recommend that you visit New Covenant Church, NYC. Again, their information can be found at www.ncc.nyc. Have a great day.
Chris Arnson, host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, announcing a new website with an exciting offer from World Magazine, my trusted source for news from a Christian perspective. Try World Now at no charge for 90 days by going to getworldnow.com. That's getworldnow.com. I rely on World because I trust the reporting. I gain insight from the analysis, and World provides clarity to the news stories that really matter. I believe you'll also find World to be an invaluable resource to better understand critical topics with a depth that's simply not found in other media outlets. Armed with this coverage, World can help you to be a voice of wisdom in your family and your community. This trial includes bi-weekly issues of World Magazine, on-scene reporting from World Radio, and the fully shareable content of World Digital. There's no obligation and no credit card required. Visit GetWorldNow.com today. Also check out World News Group's podcast, The World and Everything in It,
at wng.org/podcast. That's W for world, N for news, G for group, .org/podcast.
I'm Pastor Billy Linhart of Sovereign Grace Particular Baptist Church of San Angelo, Texas, and I'm thrilled to have joined the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio family of sponsors. We fully subscribe to the Second London Baptist Confession of Faith as a faithful summary of the most vital biblical truths, desire to worship the triune God of the Holy Scriptures in spirit and truth, and seek to make His glory known in the Concho Valley, West Texas, and beyond. Sovereign Grace PBC of San Angelo purposes to center our worship on the Holy Scriptures and the Gospel of Jesus Christ in the hope that He will grow us in love and the unity of truth. After Sunday services, join us for a fellowship meal, followed by our ladies' fellowship and our children's Sunday school class. If you're looking for a church in West Texas that's serious about the Word of God and worship that pleases Him, come visit us. For details about Sovereign Grace Particular Baptist Church of San Angelo, Texas, email sgbcsa@gmail.com or visit us at sgbcsa.com. That's sgbcsa.com.
Have you been blessed by Iron Sharpens Iron Radio? We remain on the air because of our faithful sponsors and because of listeners like you. There are four ways you can help. First, do you know potential sponsors who may wish to advertise their goods or services on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio? Second, whenever possible, purchase the products or use the services that our sponsors advertise. And then let them know that you heard about them on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Thirdly, you can also donate to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio by going to our website at ironsharpensironradio.com and click support at the top of the page. But most importantly, keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio in your prayers. We hope that Iron Sharpens Iron Radio blesses you for many years to come.
Paul wrote to the church at Galatia, "For am I now seeking the approval of man or of God? Or am I trying to please man? If I were still trying to please man, I would not be a servant of Christ." Hi, I'm Mark Lukens, pastor of Providence Baptist Church. We are a Reformed Baptist church, and we hold to the London Baptist Confession of Faith of 1689. We are in Norfolk, Massachusetts. We strive to reflect Paul's mindset to be much more concerned with how God views what we say and what we do than how men view these things. That's not the best recipe for popularity, but since that wasn't the apostles' priority, it must not be ours either. We believe, by God's grace, that we are called to demonstrate love and compassion to our fellow man, and to be vessels of Christ's mercy to a lost and hurting community around us, and to build up the body of Christ in truth and love. If you live near Norfolk, Massachusetts, or plan to visit our area, please come and join us for worship and fellowship. You can call us at 508-528-5750, that's 508-528-5750, or go to our website to email us, listen to past sermons, worship songs, or watch our TV program entitled Resting in Grace. You can find us at providencebaptistchurchma.org, that's providencebaptistchurchma.org, or even on sermonaudio.com. Providence Baptist Church is delighted to sponsor Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Listening to Christian radio can be a big gamble spiritually. Even many of the major Christian networks that include excellent, biblically faithful teachers on their lineup sadly often also include the worst of doctrinally dangerous heretics. If you are a lover of the doctrines of sovereign grace, you need not fear listening 24 hours a day to firstloveradio.org. They feature Christ-centered programming from Reformed pastors and teachers you can rely upon for theological soundness and biblical faithfulness, such as Dr. W.R. Downing, Dr. Peter Masters, Pastor Joe Jackowitz, Pastor Robert Gifford, Al Martin, Edward Del Cor, and more. FirstLoveRadio.org also live streams my Iron Sharpens Iron radio program daily,
Please stick around on firstloveradio.org after Iron Sharpens Iron Radio is over to continue being blessed by the unwavering proclamation of the gospel of sovereign grace. Spread the word about firstloveradio.org.
Welcome back. This is Chris Arnzen and Reverend Jeff Thomas. Before we go off the air, I'd like you to summarize in the next few minutes what you most want etched in the hearts and minds of our listeners in regard to encouragement.
Good. I'd be delighted to do that. I just wanted to say to people that this, you don't need to go to a seminary or to a Bible college in order to have a ministry of encouragement. The exhortation, say 1 Thessalonians 5:11, therefore encourage one another and build each other up just as in fact you are doing. So don't stop. The church has done this for 2,000 years. Every born again Christian, go on encouraging. Encourage the timid, help the weak, be patient with everyone. 1 Thessalonians 5:14. All of you, go on doing it. It's a ministry we owe to one another. You need just to be a Christian in union with Christ. You just need access to the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, a knowledge of the Word of God and of human nature. That's what we need, and we owe it to each other to bear before God this delightful responsibility of being encouragers of one another.
Amen. And we do have an anonymous listener who asks, how do we receive encouragement when we have had very close loved ones perish without the knowledge or acceptance of Jesus Christ? This is especially true with children who have gone on before us, who have died without Christ. How on earth can we possibly be encouraged?
We have no idea what goes on in the hearts and minds of men and women in those last hours as they feel their weakness and great need. We don't know. We say to one another, there'll be many surprises when we get to heaven. And so you trust God. When you see Jesus Christ, you will be like him. Your heart and mind will be brought into total harmony with his heart and mind. You will love the things he loves. You will hate the things he hates. And so in that confidence, you can face the future and know that the God of the world, or of the worlds, this world and the world to come, always does well. Have that confidence in him. Heaven will not be a place of eternal perplexity and bitterness. He will make his will our perfect delight.
Amen. Yes, many of us act as if we are omniscient when somebody that we know dies, especially if we were not there when they were gasping their last breath, and if they were not cursing God while they were speaking their final words. We don't know if we have brought them the gospel, if others have brought them the gospel, we don't know. They may have come to embrace those things by God's mercy before they left this earth without our knowledge.
Have I got a minute?
Yes, you do.
There was a farmer on the island of Lewis, and he was in his horse and cart, and he was going along the edge of the field on top of the cliffs, and the cliff gave way, and he fell down and down and down with the horse and cart. And as he was falling, he was crying to God for mercy. And he landed on a big pile of seaweed and sand that cushioned his fall so that he lived for many years. And he lived in all those years adorning the gospel. And he would say, if he had dashed his brains out on a rock and had died, they would not have known that as he was in midair and falling, He was seeking mercy and finding mercy from God. And he would say what you have just said, that we don't know in what state a man breathe their last breath. And we have to trust God that the judge of all the earth will do right, and he will hear and answer our prayers.
Amen. And we have a final question that we have time for. We have CJ in Lindenhurst, Long Island, New York, who says, we who are Calvinistic are often ridiculed for being so dark and gloomy and unencouraging, and I am sure that that can very often be the case. But at the same time, is not the gospel we preach and proclaim the most encouraging, because we give the bad news as well as the good news? You cannot really appreciate how wonderful and good the good news is unless you know about the bad news first. Yeah, I think that's a excellent point. And in fact, as you are well aware, in 1 Corinthians, Pastor Jeff, you have some very sobering and frightening words. Do you not know that the wicked will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor men who submit to or perform homosexual acts, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor verbal abusers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. And that is what some of you were, but you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of God. There you have both the bad news and the good news, and I think the good news is much more appreciated in contrast to those dark, frightening words, aren't they?
They are indeed. I was longing for you to come after all those horrible disfigurations of our humanity were displayed and declared by the apostle, but then those words, but you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified. How wonderful the grace of God. Of course, let's rejoice in the Lord always. That's, again, he says it, doesn't he, that is the characteristic grace that God gives to us. The God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you believe in him.
Amen. Well, Jeff Thomas, it is such a joy to have you on the program again. I look forward to many more visits from you, as many as the Lord will allow, and I hope that you share my enthusiasm over your return to the program. By the way, I don't know if this is just providential or if the folks at Reformation Heritage Books were listening, but during our interview I got an email that you have a booklet published by Reformation Heritage Books called How Can I Please God in Everything by Jeffrey Thomas. If you want to purchase that book, go to cvbbs.com, cvbbs.com. How Can I Please God in Everything by Jeffrey Thomas. Perhaps we can have you back on the show to discuss that booklet. I want to thank everybody who listened. Don't forget, folks, the Foundations Conference, where Jeff Thomas will be speaking, is this December 19th and 20th, Thursday and Friday, in New York City. And the website to register and find out more information is thefoundationsconference.com, thefoundationsconference.com. Also, even though our guest today is retired from the pastoral ministry at Alfred Place Baptist Church in Aberystwyth, Wales, if you have a family member or a friend or a loved one, or perhaps you yourself lived in that area, or if you're vacationing there, the website there is alfredplacechurch.org.uk, alfredplacechurch.org.uk. And don't forget about, obviously, the Banner of Truth website, banneroftruth.org, banneroftruth.org, to find out more about Jeff Thomas and things he has written. And also sermonaudio.com. You can hear the sermons of Jeff Thomas at sermonaudio.com. Do you have any other final contact information that you care to give, Reverend Thomas?
No, except that my grandson, of course, followed me, and he's been 2 years, and they love him, and the church is growing, and he has had some remarkable providences that would encourage any Christian if he could sit down and hear of what God is doing in the world today.
Amen. Well, I hope that you all have a wonderful and safe and blessed and happy weekend and a God-honoring Lord's Day. And I hope you all always remember for the rest of your lives that Jesus Christ is a far greater Savior than you are a sinner.
Amen.